wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, members. It can be confirmed the Kathmandu sale has been extended by a week. It looks like it's going to keep going. Considering what we saw on the weekend, there was absolute genuine lead in pencil stuff. And as I get too close to creaming myself, I'm going to introduce Cam. Cam, how are you going this week?
Yeah, good, mate. Just finished my camping expedition for the first week of finals, and I can confirm you are correct. Tents were pitched left, right, and centre.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it? We're just being absolutely, we are knee-deep in quality, good, hard, honest playoff football. It's just astounding to see. We're loving it. And it's just, I don't think it's going to let up, isn't it? Especially after the weekend and a couple of the absolute scrumptious matchups that we've got lining up this week. It's really turned into a cracker, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Like the first week really delivered, and I think it's just going to get better as we go on.
Yeah, it was huge. And I think so interesting to talk about, I suppose, some of the seven seeds that's popped in. There are a few people out there talking that they made for boring games. So we had the three wildcard games. It's interesting when you look at it. Obviously, a couple of the guys got blown out. We know the Eagles did, Steelers did in the end. And even to respect the Patriots got blown out a bit as well, even though they weren't the seventh seed. But what are your thoughts on that? Do we need this extended playoff? Or are we just letting in a team that's not worth it?
I don't know. Yeah, I think I initially wrote this to you and I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of agree the seventh seed's a little bit shit. But then as we talked about it, it's like, well, the team's done enough to get there. I know the NFL put this in for the amount. Like, it's probably there for more money and fair play to them. It's a business, so you're going to be making money at the end of the day. But, I mean, if you're a team that's made the record to be there, so be it. Like, it's, I mean, we look at last year, the records weren't too bad. They scraped in the Bears. And I believe the Colts, both those games reasonably tight. And this year's, yeah, they were blowouts. But as you just alluded to, I mean, the Patriots got absolutely blown out. They were six. Mm. And then the Cardinals got blown out and they were fifth seed. I know we don't ride high on the Cardinals after their first seven games. But, yeah, I think there's merit to it. I think it'll get better. But I think I can see both sides of the argument there. What do you think?
I think it's absolutely fake news. Like the seven seeds are good. The fact is they're all NFL football teams. So we know that there are obviously varying degrees. My first point of conference is it means that only the first seed gets a bye and they have to run through home ground. So it means it's absolutely imperative that you come first. Obviously back in the day, first and second both got a bye. So you got to lick your wounds and rest up for the week and have home ground advantage. But I think now it really puts that push because that's what we saw in the last week as well. We saw guys trying to win that first seed in the AFC. It was open there and the Titans had to hold on. You know, they almost did lose out to the Texans. And if they had Kansas City bump up and then the road goes through Arrowhead. But we saw the Titans hold on. So now they get the bye. They potentially have Derrick Henry back. It brings in all these new storylines. And I think that's the best part about it. As you said, money, it's narrative, it's yarn. And that's what you're creating as well. So think about as well, back to week 18, what did we have? The Colts were pretty much winning their in. They lose to the Jags. And then we get this whole crazy story about like there might be a draw in the Colts-Chargers game. They both get in. Like this stuff just doesn't even exist if we don't have a seventh seed. Like, and you think that having, okay, we've had one blowout game, sure. There was blowout games everywhere, as we said. So, you know, if you're going to be like, oh, there's one blowout game, we shouldn't have it. Well, we probably shouldn't even have, you know, wild cards anyway. We should probably just go straight to semifinals because realistically, there's only four good teams. We know that. So that's you know, irrelevant. Create the storyline, create the yarn and narrative. That was sick week 18 because we were all horny about who was going to get in number seven. And, you know, it ended up being the Steelers. Christ almighty. That was cool. Yes, they were going to get blitzed, but it was fun while it lasted, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Look, it sounds like you've had that rant lying in your back pocket for the last few days. But you look, I mean, the more you sort of dive into that, it makes a lot of sense. Like, you're right. Like, that last week 18, everyone, like, there were so many watched games by everyone around the country because there was so much on the line. And look, yeah, people are going to get blown out. You're going to make the playoffs because you had a good start to the season and you sort of fade away into the existence and other teams are coming hot at the right time. You could be seventh seed. You could come hot at the right time, roll through like San Fran. Sixth seed. And they just scraped into sixth seed. They could have been out at the end of week 18, but here they come, taken away. And I mean, I'm going to blame Michael for this. I tipped the Cowboys stupidly, but you've tipped correctly for the whole week. San Fran just came out and rolled. I know the game got close in the end and the referees had a little bit to do in the end, but I mean, San Fran are getting hot. It just plays for a good football.
Yeah, no, it was, wasn't it? It was a great game. Look, San Fran came out and they did what they should do. They put the ball on the ground, you know. I think what we found with some teams is they went away with what their strengths were because they're worried that, you know, it's young guys, they're playing playoffs, it's ride or die type stuff. So they went away, and I found a couple of teams did that. San Francisco didn't. They did what their strengths were, and they were happy to live and die by that. So if you go in and you play to your strengths and you say, okay, we're going to run the ball, we're going to try and keep it out of Garoppolo's hands and not throw it through the air too much because that's our strength. You know, our weakness is probably the air game. Strength on the ground, we get a lot Mitchell to run it, we get Debo to run it. Like, as you said, Debo wanted the footy and he just ran it in. So they did what they had to do. Whereas I think some of these other teams, they get a bit nervous and they went away. Like, I know the Cowboys, and we've been saying this all year, they've got the best front seven and they managed to make no yards on the ground, so they can't build an innings. And that's what happened this week again. Dak Prescott had to go out, throw 40 times. Elliott only ran for 30 yards. Go figure.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I think looking into the Cowboys further, I think, what were they, 6-0 in their own division? And then now they've made it out as 6-6 elsewhere. So, look, that really reflects on the team that is. And the San Fran clearly was the better team on the day and a better team just in general.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you talk about teams that go away from what they were good at. I thought that's what happened to the Eagles as well. So when they went and played the Bucs, they just thought, this is too hard. Or they backed away from the challenge, essentially. They said, we're not going to win here, so we're going to go into our shell a little bit, because their best part has been the run game as well. And they shied away from it. They got Jalen Hurts to throw, and they got burnt by it.
They did, yeah, absolutely. The Eagles kind of struggled there. And I think Buccaneers kind of had a really good game plan in that game. Like, they played to perfection for the near start of the game and just sort of drove it away pretty quickly and left it out of the Eagles' hands. Like, yeah, they got some garbage time points to make it look a bit respectable. But, yeah, it was a no contest in that one.
Pretty much, yeah. That was an easy score. I think the big ones, though, were the first day. Did you enjoy that Sunday? That was great, just to sort of sit there. I know I went out the night before, so I was a bit cactus. But it was nice to wake up to a bit of football. That Bengals-Raiders game, unreal. I think it was a bit interesting. Obviously, there was a controversy. We might get into that in a bit. But Cincinnati really controlled the game from the start. They showed their sort of youth and the fact that they haven't been to the playoffs before. And I think Raiders did a little bit to an extent, but you really saw that the Bengals didn't want to go for the jugular. They got up, but they sort of let the Raiders get back in and within a shout.
Yeah, they did. Look, this game was sort of to and froing for a while. Look, credit to the Raiders. They played pretty well. I was happy with how they played down the stretch. And as you said, that controversial call, look, I don't know how to call it. I didn't know it was a rule before this even came into play. What were your thoughts on that?
When I was watching it, I thought, this is fine. But when you play it back and you go, they have blown the whistle, that should mean the play is dead and we replay it. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Should be. Yeah. Because obviously you always talk about, like, oh, just play to the whistle. And that's what you'd do if you were out there on the field. You'd hear a whistle and you'd stop. And exactly. What I think where the issue is the overcalling of the ref. So what they do is they want to get their whistle to their mouth as quick as possible and call it. Just, you know, let it run. Like, we all watch the league, bunkers shit house, whatever, but they'll let someone run down the sideline and try and dive in for a try. They won't put their flag up or anything. They'll let the play flow through and then go, right, I think they might have gone out. And then we check it upstairs, like we did anyway. So we can let the play go and then we can check it upstairs and we get the right call. I mean, this happens all the time as well on fumbles as well. How many times has a defense knocked the ball out and then they've called, oh, incomplete pass or something like, or, you know, they've tried to pick it up, but they've already called the whistle and not let the defense run in a defensive touchdown. Like, these guys are just so quick to their whistle. Like, it's just ridiculous sometimes.
Yeah, it's something that kind of annoys me about the NFL. I mean, you've got that many cameras and they stop the play all the time to review players, catches, as you said, fumbles, all these plays that they review to within an inch of its life. and then you pull up the game and you stop it short on certain plays. Well, you just let the game go, let the game play, and look, you can review it afterwards. I think I completely agree with you. I know it slows it down a little bit, but you do that anyway. The game is pretty slow in general compared to, I mean, Australian sports especially. But that one was pretty contentious for me, but it was a rule that I didn't know existed.
Yeah, look, contentious, but I think the Raiders still had their chance to make a play. I think regardless of whether that play would have been brought back, I think the Bengals clearly had the momentum then. And they would have either scored a touchdown or a field goal because they were quite easily down there. So I think they still would have regardless gotten away with points there. That's not a doubt. What I think the Raiders missed is they missed the chance to come back and take those points back. As I said, the Bengals showed their youth by not sort of putting this game away. And that's what you got to do in playoffs. You really got to get on the hammer. You get in fast and you put absolutely no doubt about who's going to win this game. Mm-hmm. Now, they let them back in, but the Raiders, they squandered their opportunity. They kicked field goals rather than touchdowns. And if you want to win a playoff game, you need to be scoring the TDs.
Oh, 100%. And I guess just looking towards probably the last drive of the game that ended in the intercept just outside the end zone. Now, if he caught that, I don't know if he gets in. Do you believe it's the right play call? Because I guess Zay Jones, I guess it was short of the goal line, whether he catches it. There were three guys manning him anyway. Do you believe it's the right play call? I guess they played hard sideline, so they had to sort of go down the middle. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you got to go down the middle, and you're hoping that, because when you look at the replay, Zay Jones looked like he was pretty much right on the line. So yeah. If he's caught it, I'm assuming he's hoping that he falls back and just breaks the plane that way. So, and uses his body to sort of protect himself out the back from those three corners. But it is a risky play. But it's probably the easiest one that you think you're going to be able to slot it in front because he can easily gobble that one up, which he pretty much did, but they were able to push him out.
Yeah, look, and it was a disappointing and great for the Bengals, I suppose. It's the first win they've had in the playoffs in 31 years, which is huge for Cincinnati. I guess they've had no luck in such a long time. They've made plenty of playoff games, but just had absolutely zero luck.
Yeah, they were never able to, you know, as I said, killer blow. They just never learned that. And I think with Andy Dalton, they were never able to make that next step. Now with Joe Burrow and this new guys, the young blood, they're making that next step. Even if they go out next week, they're only going to be better for it in the future, I think. But I speak about needing that killer blow. Moving on to the Bills game, they had that killer blow. They had that nasty look in their eye. And they had the opportunity to really say, okay, you guys want this division back? You can come get it. Here we are in Buffalo in the cold again, where you guys thought you could throw it three times and win. Well, now we're going to beat the shit out of you.
Oh, this was just an absolute drubbing from start to finish. And I did read NFL's first ever perfect game. No punts, no turnovers, no field goals, and a touchdown on every single drive, and have that against a top five defense. You're not playing absolute drubbers. You're playing top five defense, and Josh Allen and the Bills just absolutely picked them apart, and it was just fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think this is what I mean. Like, these people are talking about, like, oh, there's blowouts in the playoffs. This is not worth it. It's like, actually, no. I watched a comprehensive football team go in and just absolutely pick apart a team, another team to within an inch of its life. Like, it was perfect on all three phases of play. We saw Allen on the front line. He was just dishing them out for fun. And then we saw some of those interceptions as well. By golly, that was just something pulling out of a hat, wasn't it?
Oh. Yeah, the Michael Hyde interception was just phenomenal. I mean, that's a touchdown pass every day of the week if he doesn't. I mean, you just stole a touchdown, really. Like, he came from nowhere, played great safety there, and just came in and took it. I mean, it was just great plays across the field all day. I mean, look, what, 21 and 25 from Josh Allen. That's unbelievable passing in such a clutch game.
Yeah, well, you literally throw more touchdowns than incompletions. It's a great day. It bodes well for the Buffalo Bills. I think this really puts a spring in their step. They've gone out. They've got essentially, not that I suppose they've had sort of the monkey on their back, but Bill has always been there. You really can't say that you've topped Bill until you've dicked him in the playoffs. Now they have. They own that division now. I know the Patriots will be back. Mac Jones looked really good. Don't get me wrong. He's going to be great for the future. But the Bills, it's their time now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess while we're on the topic of Mac Jones, and I know the rumor mill starts flowing pretty heavily once we get into playoffs and things happen. Now, I did see a thing saying, oh, what's the potential of Bill Belichick moving on from Mac Jones and trying to get in a veteran of some description. And like, they've seen what they've got out of Mac Jones. They've got a pretty good price on him. They could get someone else in and then really go from there. I mean, he's happy to move on from players in the past, as we've seen. He's moved on from Jimmy G and he's moved on from other guys. It's not out of the realms of possibility, but I think Jones is going to be there for me.
Well, I think for two questions, he's moved on from those guys because he's always had Tom Brady, okay? Tom Brady was essentially going to be there forever. So it was pretty safe bet to say that we're not going to need Jimmy G anytime soon. He's just surplus to requirements. Two, who's he going to get? Like, honestly, you know, he's probably doesn't seem like the type of guy that's going to go out and get Deshaun Watson. Aaron Rodgers is looking unlikely as well, I think, mainly because he doesn't want to go to a cold place, I'm assuming, but also because, I don't know. Seems like too much of a, I don't want to say attitude because that's not what Rodgers has, but just he's got to be the biggest person in the room. But I think Bill is the biggest person in the room there. And that's where they would clash. And that's what you probably found with Cam Newton as well. So whereas like Mac Jones, he's probably not the biggest person in the room. And I don't think he's ever going to be the biggest person in the room. Like you saw that in Alabama as well. Like even though he was out there throbbing, he was never the biggest guy. It was always like the Smith or the wide receivers or the running backs. Like he was just there dealing, wheeling and dealing, which is what he's got to do. So I think, you know, maybe you could go out and get Wilson, but realistically, would you trade a guy like Mac Jones, whose future is here and now, Wilson, who's retiring? What, he's got like three maybe years left and they might not even be good.
Yeah, I think the question mark around Wilson going to any team, I know Mikal wants him to the Eagles. I'm going to be interested to see how he goes because he's a gun, but I'm just not 100%, as you said, with the years left in him. The only other thing I do want to say, there was another thing I did see, a tweet. I guess I'm going through the tweets now. Mina Kimes, one of the analysts or reporters over in the NFL, she put something out saying this is a narrative that is almost too good to be true, but she kind of believes it, is that for the Bills to get the best out of Josh Allen, they need to build a dome. Now, we know that's not true in the game we've just seen, but is there any legs to this?
Oh, I mean, realistically, you could build a dome for everyone and it'd be happy dandy, wouldn't it? But I think...
Yeah, it's true.
Look, long-term, it's only a handful of games that it really disrupts. Like, we're getting into some warmer spots now over there. It's really sort of that early December that you get those really bad games, like that real Christmas time. And then once you get to sort of January and Feb, it feels like it starts to warm up over there a little bit, so it's not as thick. Look, long-term, maybe. Then you can, all the players, it's not going to be cold and things like that. But you saw those boys lining up. They came in, half of them came in shirtless and everything. They love it down there. They live there. They breathe it. It's like trying to, you know, drag someone into the Raiders or something in Canberra. Yes, it's hard. But once they're there, they froth this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's true. I thought, I wonder if there was legs to it. And look, yeah, Allen showed that he can play in all weather. So I don't think there's really anything to it. And I suppose when you're a team coming from, say, Florida, like Tampa, then he's probably going to have to go to Lambeau or the LA Rams. It's so hard. Like going to Lambeau on those cold, freezing, snowy nights, you're absolutely zero chance.
It's a completely different ball game, isn't it? I suppose last two games, Chief v Steelers, we talked about this. Steelers actually looked good for a start. They put pressure on Mahomes, but they just weren't able to outlast him, and he just came out and was in a mood. Like there was like a five-minute period there, and I'm not even talking about like 5 minutes time and possession for KC. Like this was 5 minutes on the game clock where he came out and I dished about two or three touchdowns in a row. Like it was outstanding gameplay by him.
Oh, it was crazy. And I think I had something saved somewhere when, as you said, this is like the most points ever produced in a certain amount of period. Like it was just absolutely ridiculous. And I think there was some stats saying that Tom Brady did it in 10 minutes, but Patrick Mahomes did this in all of 5 minutes. But yeah, look, this game started. I mean, this is going to be the best start ever for the Steelers. Like a fumble return from TJ Watt, which was a huge play. But I mean, Ben Roethlisberger ended up throwing 44 times for 215 yards, but he started. And I think we talked about it. He threw for like 12 yards or 15 passes or something stupid. So, I mean, they just had their number from the get-go.
Yeah, again, they went away from what they were good at. Steelers, their best number was probably Najee. You know, you got to dish him the ball, try and get him to run. You get the hand out of Roethlisberger. But they just, again, you're just not able to create drives if you're getting those sort of three and outs or you're not getting very far in that field position and, you know, you're punting from your 20 or your 30 and you're just not putting any pressure on Kansas City. Like, they're a team that you, at least if you're not going to score a touchdown or a field goal, you need to be punting at your 40 or 50 so you can put their backs against their 10-yard line and you can put a little bit of pressure on them on defense. Like they did at the start, force the fumble, and they got a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, that's it's. I think, they, as you said, they went away from it. Chiefs just ended up dominating. Look, are the Chiefs top contenders for you coming out of the AFC? I know you've got Bills going all the way. I know we'll probably talk about this later. Are Chiefs the top dog?
I certainly think they can. Like you just saw, if Mahomes is in a mood, he can just come out and just sling it. And they've got all the weapons there. And as you said, they fixed up their defense, which was probably their glaring hole at the start of the year. Because, again, they allowed teams to go, and they got into a shootout, as they do. But I think we were sort of starting to see that they weren't able to shoot out as comprehensively as they have in the past. They were letting up sort of interceptions, more interceptions and things like that, and takeaways. So once their defense puts a hold on and gets, you know, a couple threes and outs, that Kansas City Chiefs is able to get up 7-14 points ahead, and that's when they can really put their foot on the pedal and, you know, put their, you know, really jam it down on the neck of those guys.
Yeah, and it's just amazing how they've actually managed to turn it around. And I don't, like, there wasn't a huge personnel change. I know they've probably shifted a few schemes and stuff like that. But yeah, in terms of personnel, like, they've done some amazing things during the season because they were diabolical at the start of the year. And we sort of thought, shit, this defense is going to let Patrick Mahomes down and he's not going to get himself to another championship.
Yeah, well, everyone's just bought in. Just like OBJ has bought into the Rams. Holy shit, he is on a roll, isn't he? What is it, like 6 touchdowns in the last 7 or 8 games? And he had zero at the Browns for 3 years or something ridiculous. Like, this is just an absolute revolution, and he's in the right spot. Clearly, Stafford is loving him because he can dish it to either him or Cup, and they're having a good time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He didn't even need Cup for the start of the game. He didn't have a huge amount of yards until kind of late in the game. But I saw one of the most perfect tweets, and a lot of players actually shared this, and it was to do with Odell. Not Odell, but Odell was probably the perfect example of it. They were saying football is so situational. It really depends on what situation you're in and how you're going to flourish. These guys get shit on by the fans saying this guy sucks, he's rubbish. If you're in a poor situation, like, say, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, or these guys that are guns going to these shit teams and they can't do anything in these key positions, I think it's just really crazy. And Odell Beckham is probably the perfect example of this because he's just playing unbelievably as we're used to him playing.
Well, I mean, you saw what he was able to do at the start of his career at the Giants. He really made Eli. He extended his career by at least 2 years there.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Easily. So, and then unfortunately with Baker, he just wasn't getting the looks. But now Stafford, he's got a guy who's happy to dish it out. And I think that was the thing. Like, Odell is one of those guys who, you know, you can wait for him to get free and then dial him in. But a lot of the time, he just loves you to throw it up in the air and he's got to play ball for it. He wants to beat his corner one-on-one and really fight for that footy. And 9 times out of 10, he comes out with it as well, over the top or something like that. So I think he's one of those guys where you've just got to put it out in front of him and let him make the play rather than you waiting for him to get that distance out.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess going from playmaker to a team missing a playmaker. Now, I don't know if this is the key or the catalyst to the Cardinals season declining. Without DeAndre Hopkins, they really struggled. But, I mean, what were the issues for the Cardinals going down the stretch? I mean, the team didn't change a huge amount. They lost J.J. Watt, lost D-Hop. But this was the polar opposites from what we saw through the first 7 weeks.
Well, I'm pretty sure D-Hop, not D-Hop, TJ was actually, J.J., fuck, J.J. Watt was actually playing. He came down and looked good at the start of the game. Look, what I found was it was their drive consistency. They literally, I think it was the whole first half, they literally played every single drive was a 3 and out. You have a look, it was basically punt, 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 3 plays. They got nowhere, no field position. Then there was like that intercept touchdown as well, because again, they were just forced into their backs were on the 10, their touchdown line. They had no breathing room. They were unable to get out and push the ball up the field and maybe play for some field position because they were just going 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out. And one thing, it's demoralizing for your offense, but your defense is getting shagged because they're basically getting, what, 2-minute break, and then they're back on, and then they're getting rolled through again with a long drive by the Rams.
Oh, absolutely. And as you said, in those first few drives now, my Instagram lit up because I follow a lot of Ravens pages. They were just all going on saying if this Lamar played like this, he would be getting absolutely slandered and slaughtered. And look, probably a fair point. But yeah, the stat line, as you just alluded to, from Kyler in that first half was absolutely disgusting. Like, when you're there, I mean, it really got shown up that he's just quite a step away from these playoff teams. He's showed out MVP style at the start of the year, but coming into these crunch games, nowhere to be seen.
Well, you could see when the pressure was on, and he really did not convert well from those third and longs. Like, that was his issue. He was was dialed in. They worked okay. You know, they might have a decent run first down, or if they weren't able to get that, you know, easy check down or easy first down run to make it a third and short, he was really neutralized and he wasn't able to make those third and long plays, and that's what killed them essentially.
Yeah, definitely. Now, look, I suppose probably expected as all the games went, we've just gone through them all. Rams are probably one of the most clinical, I thought, throughout, other than the Bills. On the NFC side, I think Rams were probably one of the most clinical, going up 28-0. They're looking pretty special going down the stretch.
Yeah, no, I like them. They're probably my best performers this week easily. Like, they just comprehensively picked apart their guys. Like, you saw, as we said, Bills dicked the Patriots, and Rams just absolutely walked all over Kyler Murray. Like, it was just a no contest.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so I think for our playoffs, we're going to move away from our season awards, but this week we're going to have the player of the week. So we're both each going to pick one, Throbber, who's just gone out and absolutely throbbed. And then also we're going to have our moment of the week. So there's been some great plays this week, and we've alluded to a couple already. For example, the TJ Watt strip sack into a TD, that was a great one. But we're going to jump on and talk about those, and then we want you guys in the IG to go in and vote as per usual for our player and our moment of the week. So starting off, who is your player of the week for week one, Spoon?
All right. Well, we just talked about this guy, Kyler Murray. Now, if this isn't one of the most ironic things and these things just write themselves, the Kyler Murray has thrown the shortest pick six in NFL history. Like, I mean, some jokes just write themselves, to be honest. But this was great. Like, I mean, the pressure from the Rams, I think it was TJ Reader, just came absolutely flying out. Now, he's under the pump. You either can take a 2-point for safety, but he's thrown this absolute shot put out of the end zone, landed at like the 2 or 3 yard line, picked off, running for six. I mean, you've given up an extra 4 points. I know you're down by a lot already, but surely you've got to read the play a little bit better there, or read the situation a little bit better and just get rid of it either sooner or take the safety for two.
Yeah, I think, look, he probably didn't see that guy because he came in on a railroad. That was a ridiculous come out of nowhere, which was good. It was a great read by him. But I think if you're going to dish it, don't lollipop it, as you said, into the line of scrimmage or something like that. You got to send that motherfucker out into the stands, out into Rose E. Make sure that thing's not coming back, okay? Because otherwise, yeah, as you said, take the safety. You're under pressure. There was at least three guys over him. If you can't dish it away safely, tuck it in, cop the 2 points, and then work back again. So, but as I said, the pressure cooker got to him, and hopefully he'll be better for it. But I think from what we've seen, I don't know if he'll bounce back well from this one.
Yeah, it's true. And look, it was pretty comical. It's funny to watch. Now, what is your moment of the weekend?
Look, my moment of the weekend is going to go to Dawson Knox. What an absolute great knock from him. He's been not much of an event over the regular season, but he comes out. He took the first two touchdowns. Now, this is specifically that first touchdown. That was great play. It was great work by the line. I think Allen had about almost like 9 seconds to make this play. So that is a hell of a lot of time. He didn't even have to scramble much, but he works his way across the sideline and he does what he thinks. So he goes, okay, I haven't got much here. I'm going to dish this out over the end zone. And he just tosses it away and prepares to turn around for the next play. Lo and behold, Dawson Knox absolutely just leaps out of the air and somehow grabs this thing and puts 2 feet in, touchdown, and then the Bills Mafia just absolutely started, and this was the beginning of the end for the Patriots.
Oh, it was an elite game for him. And look, he showed up when it really mattered, like 5 receptions, 5 targets, and 2 touchdowns. That one was an absolute cracker. Yeah, as you said, looking through his stats for the rest of the year, he's a guy that doesn't see a huge amount of it. I know you've got other targets around the park, but that was a cracking game from him, and what a touchdown.
Yeah, huge. So that'll be on the socials. But who is your player of the week, Spoon?
Player of the week, we're going to have to stick with the Bills game here, and I'm going to have to go with our man, Josh Allen. I don't know if you can. I mean, Mahomes was very good. You can't really go past this. 21 of 25, 308 yards, 5 touchdowns, 98.5 QBR and 157.6 rating. Don't know if you can have much better of a game given the conditions. Just played absolutely phenomenally. Like, yeah, I can't fault him for this performance, and I think it was just phenomenal.
Yeah, well, as you said, you alluded to him before. My guy was Patrick Mahomes. It's the battle of QBs this week, no doubt. Mahomes, he dished out a few more yards, 30 for 39. He had 404 yards. He had the five TDs, but also an interception. He took away a QBR of 68 and a rating of 138.3. So probably a bit less in the ratings, but I think he just got into a mood in that sort of 5-10 minutes, as we said, and he was just dishing them left, right. It was just wild to see. So it was great play by both of them. I think they both quite easily picked apart the defenses and just showed how much of a cracker they could be moving forward into the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think it's actually, I know this contest is going to be on our socials. The contest this week, I know they're playing each other, and we're going to talk about this later. It's quite a shame that they are playing each other this week and the Titans were number one seed, because, I mean, if you put that as an AFC championship game, it would be unbelievable.
Huge, huge. Cannot get any bigger than that. But as we said, that's the hand we're dealt, and we work with it, and we can't wait either way. So I think that wraps up our Players Award. We will move on to Meikle's Hot Minute for this week, and I'm sure he's got an absolute barnstormer for us. All right, I'm ready to hit it again. Meikle, how'd you enjoy your boys' week in the playoffs? Was it good while it lasted, or, you know, bit of a flash in the pan type stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I did say it was a long shot. We were never in it. That's all right. Young team. Probably shouldn't have been there, but it's better than not being there. So three first rounders, good things to come.
Very good. Righto. Who's copping it this week?
Well, first week of the playoffs, and arguably the most surprising result was the Patriots getting blown out by the Bills. In freezing conditions, the Bills were perfect on offense, scoring a touchdown in every possession. On the other side of the ball, the Patriots really struggled with the offense never getting going and Jones having two turnovers. Although the Patriots had a quick bounce back this year, making the playoffs after looking completely listless a year ago, such a blowout loss brings into question where they're going. Winning six Super Bowls has been so dominant in the modern era is always a high bar to achieve, but such a paddling can't be ignored. We know Jones was going to struggle in his first playoff start as a rookie, who was already making mistakes at the tail end of the season when they needed him. I'm not sure he was the reason they lost, though. Even if they still had Brady, I don't think they were going to win that. The biggest concern for me is Belichick. Although his defense was top tier over the regular season, the Patriots of old would never put in such a poor performance in the playoffs. There is no question they were horrible on defense. He is nearly 70, and we would say that is well past his prime. Maybe the cold weather affected his arthritic joints. Where do you think the Patriots are headed? Does Bill still have the fire and are they on the way up? Or was this year a blimp and this division is well and truly the Bills going forward?
Yeah, this is absolutely the Bills' house, baby, and they're all just living in it at the moment. So, look, Bill might be getting a bit old, but I think he looks – I mean, if I didn't realize he was 70. I know he looks old, but he doesn't look that old. He's clearly, you know, maybe sucked some of the life out of the younger players while he's been there. I know he's a pretty boring guy, so that's must how he does it. But going forward, I think they've got a great nucleus, and they've probably got the chance for success there. I think, as I said, just like the other guys, wrong place, wrong time while Brady was there. There's nothing much you can do but watch him throb. So wrong place, wrong time. Now they've just got to watch Josh Allen do his thing for the next 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, look, I think it's interesting. Now, we talked about this earlier in the episode. I'll probably ask you the same question, Meikle. Now, there's been rumors floated around, and it's very vicious rumors. Would the Patriots potentially, now Mac Jones has got a bit of value, would they potentially look to offload him and bring in a veteran into this team?
No, I don't think so. I think they spent a first-round pick on him. I mean, to get a veteran that's going to be better, you're probably looking at like a Wilson or Rogers or something like that. You're going to have to give up more than just Jones. And historically, I mean, Belichick hasn't loved to do that, giving up his picks. So I don't see that happening. I think they'll hold true with, you know, Jones. But I mean, even if they had Brady or Rogers, if they let in points every single possession, I mean, there's no chance anyway.
Yeah, agreed with that. Thoroughly dismantled. And I think we're all happier for it, really. I know I said that I've enjoyed the Patriots this year with Jones and the resurgence, but really nothing else that brings a smile to my face than seeing them lose comprehensively.
Yeah, no doubt. They feel like the rest of the fan bases feel around the NFL, where you don't just win a Super Bowl every second or third year. So I loved it too.
Yeah, we're getting sick of it.
Yeah. It was nice to see. Yeah, I agree. We're going to talk about our own predictions later on for the next round. While we've got you here, we're probably going to see what should be the AFC Championship matchup in the Chiefs and the Bills. We've got Mahomes and Allen both playing unbelievable football last week. What's your quick prediction for that game?
That's a tough game to pick. I mean, the Bills can't play much better. I did have them coming out of the AFC, though, so I'll stick true to my word. I'll say they'll upset the Chiefs and get the win.
Very good. All right, that wraps us up. I think we'll catch you up next week again.
Sounds good.
All right, and then rolling off for that hot minute, we're just going to preview this week's games and tie this one up in a nice little bow. The round kicks off with the Titans hosting the Bengalis. Look, for me, Titans home ground. They've had the week off. They're nice and healthy. They look to have Derrick Henry back as well. And just for me, the Bengals, they played their grand final last week. They'll be exhausted, quite run down. So for me, Tennessee Titans get the win on this one. How do you see it playing out, Spoon?
Well, in my early prediction, I had the Bengals taking care of the Titans. Now, I'm not huge on the Titans. I don't think they're that great. Yes, Derrick Henry coming back probably saves their team. Bengals probably have history against them. I don't think they've ever won a road playoff game. There's 0-7 in history. I reckon they can take the monkey off their back. I reckon they'll get the win this week.
I think the big thing for me is, as you said, like the Titans don't look like that team that's going to take it all the way to the end. And I agree with you there. I think there are some holes along the lines. One, the glaring one is Ryan Tannehill. He can really turn up and just absolutely blow a hole in their team, or he can be absolutely shocking. So it really depends who turns up. For me, if they're able to have Henry and they're able to just dish the run all day and bully them that way for at least the first quarter or half, I think they'll be able to make a set standard and really put the Bengals on the back foot. Because if they go in, this becomes like an offensive shootout or something, I don't think Burrow is going to be able to keep up. He's shown that he's been able to score at high demand. That's true. But I think when push comes to shove, they may run out of gas.
Yeah, look, I think you're probably right there. I'm still going to stick with the Bengals, but I think, yeah, Titans probably. I mean, they've got to prove either on the number one seed.
Yeah, for sure. And then moving on to the next number one seed, the Packers take on the 49ers at home in the cold at Lambeau. This one looks like really set and forget for Green Bay, doesn't it?
It does. Look, I'd say Green Bay probably do win this by a touchdown or two. I mean, it would be typical Green Bay. I mean, they slip up usually in the NFC Championship, so we'll give them a week. But yeah, I think they get it done pretty easy.
Holding, I think the only concern with Green Bay at the moment is their defense. As we sort of said, they've never been great throughout the year or elite, I suppose. They've been above average, absolutely, and done quite well. And I think they will absolutely look to put pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo. They'll try to keep the ball in his hands and force him to throw it, because that's when the turnovers can occur. Because if they keep it on the ground, guys like Mitchell and Samuel are going to run a field day over and, you know, force Rodgers to get into a shootout. And I think that's not what they want. But again, as I said, Green Bay have had the week off, so I think if it does turn into a shootout, they'll still have the upper hand as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to Lambeau is a bit of an annoying thing to do, especially if you're a team from California when you're used to playing in the warmth. And as you just said, like, I think Green Bay's, as you said, hole is the run game. They are not as good at stopping the run, and if they can get the run game going, San Fran, this could make for a good contest. But yeah, Green Bay for me.
Yeah, it's huge there. So we got the number one seeds rolling. Then we go on to the next games. I think these are probably going to be the best matchups that we're going to see. We've got Tampa Bay hosting the Rams, which is going to be electric. We've got two teams which we could quite honestly say, that these two teams across the park are probably the best two teams in the league. Like position, they're quite equal, and they've pretty much got an elite player in each position.
Yeah, their rosters are absolutely stacked with talent. Now, Buccaneers, this is my biggest question mark on the game. You've talked before that they are down on cavalry, and I forgot about this. This is probably going to be the biggest decider for me, is if Tristan Wirfs and Ryan Jensen on the offensive line, who both went down hurt in the last game. I know Jensen came back at center. Wirfs is a huge one on a tackle. If those two are out or doubtful, this could be really bad, because that front seven for the Rams will cause headaches all day.
Well, you talk about guys like Von Miller and Aaron Donald. Imagine throwing up those guys without your most senior player. You've got to either switch someone across from the other side of the line, which is it's a whole other problem, or you've got to bring someone up who hasn't had much experience against these sort of guys. They can be very scary for a senior player, let alone the next man up. So that's going to put a lot of pressure on Brady. It's also going to put a lot of pressure on their run game. We know they're low on stocks on the run game. I don't know if Leonard Fournette is back. They were talking about injury reserve potentially coming back, and they didn't really have RJ last week either. So they're not able to create that ground game. And I think if you, again, this is if you're not able to run it, you're not able to create drives, you're not able to create options as well, are you? Because then you're forced to keep it in the QB's hands and they know where it's going to go. And especially when you've got lockdown guys like Jalen Ramsey, who are going to keep the wide receivers in check and force you to wait in the pocket. And then that's just more time for those guys to go to work and come down and sack you.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I won't be surprised, even if those guys are playing, I won't be surprised if Rams could sneak away with this one. The conditions are going to suit, given it's warm again. So maybe a Rams upset, but Bucks, I mean, based on how they played last week, I can't go past them.
Well, I'm going the Rams. So this is where we're going to differ here. So Rams for me. Then finally, I think we've got matchup of the year almost. Bills v. Chiefs in Kansas City. What do we reckon?
Well, that's the thing. We've talked this up all episode, and I've talked it up saying it could be the game of the year. It should be the AFC Championship. Now, I don't want to talk it up and it gives a point and be a bit of a flop because that would be very disappointing. But if these two teams, offensively especially, play like they did last week, and, I mean, their defenses are both solid, so it's probably not going to be as big a blowout. This game will be absolutely huge. I actually don't mind the Bills coming in and doing some damage and taking them out. I reckon the Bills could get it done. As you said, look, initially I probably had Kansas City going through. I probably should stick with that because that was my pick. So, look, I'll stick with it. I've just flipped and turned here. This is ridiculous. I'll stick with Kansas City because that's my prediction, but I actually quite like the Bills.
Are you an absolute turncoat, aren't you? Look at you go. You can't help yourself.
Yeah, look, can't pick my nose, so I may as well just go with the trend.
I know, you're telling me the first week I don't put money on anything and I pick them all perfect, but that's the way she rolls sometimes. Look, for me, I'm going Buffalo. I really enjoy both of these offenses. They're both high-powered. They're unreal to watch. We've seen Allen and Mahomes. They're just going to get into an absolute sling fest and we're all going to be better for it. However, what I do see is the Buffalo defense being better, okay? We've said Chiefs have fixed up the holes, but they still have a couple of issues. I wouldn't say that they're a top five, maybe squeak into five. Bills, they're quite easily in the top five defenses in the league, and they're going to put pressure on Kansas City. As I said, if they want to get into a shootout, Buffalo have quite easily shown that they can score a touchdown on every play. I don't see Kansas City being able to reply as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think their safeties are going to have their work cut out for them with like Kelce coming down the middle and Hill. I mean, Poyer and Hyde, as we know, are probably one of the best safety duos in the league. I mean, Bills would be loving it if they still had Tre'Davious White. I think he's obviously still out with the injury, but their secondary, they're going to have a lot of problems with the offense, but I think they're up to it.
Yeah, absolutely. They're coming to win. I've got the Bills. You've got the Chiefs. Can't wait to see what's happening. As I said, we are drowning in absolute playoff football at the moment, and it's only going to get much better. The only issue is there are less games, but the quality over quantity is what we're after, baby. It's coming to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Super keen for this weekend. Get stuck into it. We're going to enjoy this from Sunday onwards.
Righto, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.